Hello guys, welcome to the Blaspheme Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Eugene, how are you?
I'm good, Lucy. How are you? It's been a minute.
Yes, it's been a while. Apologies, guys. I was on holiday, so yeah, that kind of messed up our rhythm a little bit.
How were your travels?
It was amazing. The best trip I ever had in my life. I went to Thailand. I was there for like 15 days. Wow. So yeah, it was really cool. Great people, great food, lots of things to do. So yeah.
Did you catch any of the tennis that you're out there or not really?
I didn't at all. And I thought I would because I even paid for like VPN and everything, but
oh wow.
I didn't even think about it because that's how much I was really into my trip, especially that it was a solo trip. So it was really just me making sure that I can do as much as I can do.
Enjoy. Yeah, which is important.
Yeah. So, I mean, I knew about scores here and there, but I didn't watch this. I think I watched one match. I can't even remember.
It would have been Miami going on. No,
it was Miami. Yeah, it was Miami. There was one match that I tried to watch because I couldn't sleep because obviously there was a jet lag, but other than that, no, not as much. And it was all right. I missed my first time really clocking out in the middle of the season. So not too.
And now back into it. Like you never left.
Hopefully, yeah.
No, I mean, as in the action, like, because obviously it's been nonstop. Like,
yeah. I mean, luckily, I think as soon as I got back, it was literally clay season. So the timing was great. It's not like I got back in the middle of a big tournament. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Because obviously we did speak about Indian Wells. Well, no, I did a vice up on Indian Wells and then went into the Miami Open, which is where Katerina Siniakova and Taylor Townsend, they complete the Sunshine Double and doubles,
mm-hmm.
which is brilliant. Arthur Fils also reached the semifinals, his first Masters 1000 semifinal, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Coco made the final too for the first time, losing to Irina Sabalenka. There was also a nice match, actually. She played against Alicia Parks, I think, quarterfinals? I think third round.
Okay.
Parks had her it was a three set match. So Parks did play well, but then Coco did come through.
Okay.
So Miami was definitely a tournament, like with a lot of highlights.
Yeah, from what I was seeing from people's tweets and stuff, it seemed like it was a good one for like the black players. Like a lot of them made it the second week, which is great. Especially that I think there's a decent good amount of black communities in Miami. Well, obviously, especially in tennis as well. Most of them train there as well. So, so I heard I was a bit gutted by that. I was gutted about missing the Tommy Paul and Altair Feast match. A lot of people were saying
that's the year. Best match of the year for me. The year. Yeah. Easy.
So I'm really gutted that I missed that. That's the only thing that actually did pain me. Everything else, I didn't really care. But that seeing people's reaction. It was the one match I wish I watched for sure.
On that, we should also, I say on that, I think it's only right we start with a celebration. So this has been a great weekend that we've just had in terms of, well, black men's tennis anyway.
Yeah.
So two champions at ATP 500 level. So in Munich, we had Ben Shelton, who was runner up last year and went one better this year, winning the title in Munich, taking out Flavio Cobolli in straight sets. Very, very, very good performance from the American. Now he is the, I guess, undisputed, like, American number one as well. I think he's up to number six in the rankings.
Yeah, and he's also the first American man to win a clay title above, like, 250 level, like, since 2020. Obviously, 2002, sorry.
Since Andre Agassi.
I remember Francis won, but that was Houston was the same. 250. Shelton also won. So for him to go higher than that is pretty cool.
Yeah. What I love about it as well is the fact that like he's showing he can play on every surface. Like obviously he's not won a grass court tournament yet, but it's coming. I can see it. Definitely see it.
Yeah.
And shout out to Cobolli too, because he took out the top seed and defending champion in the semifinal in Alexander Zverev.
Yeah, and he had a tough one as well because he lost like a childhood friend.
Yeah, it's very emotional at the end.
Yeah, very emotional at the end of that semi-final match. So a massive shout out to him for pushing through because the first set of that match against Shelton was just breezing through. Kobody, you could tell Kobody wasn't really like in it.
Took him a while to warm up. Yeah,
it took him a while to warm up, exactly. And then the second set, it was like, it was very, Danny was very tired. I feel like he woke up by the second set. Like, I think the first couple games literally were taking so long. They kept like breaking each other. Well, it kept going to deuce basically. So yeah, it was pretty good from him.
Yeah, no, it was a very, very good performance. And then, yeah, Arthur Fils winning his, I want to say that's his fourth title in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Again, ATP 500 level. Took out Andre Rublev in straight sets in the final. It got nervy towards the end, though, and he was serving for it. He lost, Rublev broke serve.
Yeah,
and you were thinking, bloody hell, what's happening here?
Yeah.
But yeah, again, to be fair to Fils, and again, we tweeted this as well, like throughout the week, the way he's able to just like lock in at the crucial moments, like in these big matches, I'm so excited like for his future. And he's only 21. Like there is a lot to be kind of just excited about and just look forward to in his game, because he's still developing as well, obviously coming back from 8 months out with that back injury. And to kind of come back the way he has now, like he's reaching the latter stages of like big events. I think this was his second final this year. Was he reached the final in Dubai?
Yeah, so his last four tournaments, he was a Doha runner-up, quarterfinals at Indian Wells, semifinals at Miami Open, and champion in Barcelona. And honestly, like, it is so amazing to see. Quite a few of his interviews, he actually did speak about working a lot in his mental, which is funny, because even before he was injured, he was always talking about like how he feels like his emotions were showing too much, whether they were good or bad. Like he was having a hard time trying to just really just take in the moment and being in there. And he feels like working on that and coming back to the season is why he feels like he's playing his best now. So he was saying even when he wins, he's not doing like too much like he used to before. It's just about staying in the moment. So I think that, whatever he was doing while he was, trying to get back to training, all of these type of stuff has really helped to get to where he is. But it's not too surprising, in my opinion. I feel like even before his injury, Fils has shown that he deserves to be here. Like he 100%. Deserves to be a top player with many titles. And we're talking about big titles. Like I feel like if he didn't have his injury last year, he would have won like a 1,000 title. I don't know which one, but I had him and Shelton winning it. Shelton did it.
Yeah, exactly.
So none of this is, honestly, to me, is surprising at all. I feel like he's on the right path.
I think it's also worth mentioning. So after Miami, when he reached the semifinals, he pulled out of Monte Carlo. And people were saying, oh, like, what's going on? Like, and now look, I mean, clearly it was a great shout.
Exactly. So, like he's taking it easy. Like he's more strategic, and he seems like he's more strategic with just every single thing. But
diet,
again,
nutrition, fitness.
His fitness, tournament, his mood, everything that he's doing. Like, and on top of that, he's such a great guy. Like a lot of the men speak highly about him. You know, he's very entertaining, and I've always said like he deserves to get more shine in general, because he's actually like a great player and actually someone that's great for the actual sport.
And I love what you said there, like, because it's true. Even after, obviously, Rublev, he's just lost the final. But Fils is like kind of consoling him. Like he had his arm around him. You can see he was like basically trying to big him up, which again, I love. But that that speaks to, like his personality and character. Like he's a well-liked guy. And it's like, it's not forced. Like that's just how he is.
Exactly that. So I think this is just, I'm so happy for him. And I'm really looking forward for the rest of this season.
Now he's now the French number one as well.
Taken over
Arthur Rindignet. I think he's up to 25 in the rankings, been as high as 14. So, I mean, people are saying top 10 by the end of the year.
Some people say, I'm seeing that, and honestly, it's not far-fetched. Like, I hear it. I actually hear it. Like,
I wouldn't
really
be.
Not
I mean, like you said, if he wasn't injured last year, like, God knows where
he would have finished. Yeah, exactly. He definitely would have been top 10 by now. So, honestly,
I can see that. I can see that in Arthur Fils's future, for sure.
Hi guys, this is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Blackspin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in.
Who else do we have now here?
Coco Gauff, who lost in the quarterfinals to Stuttgart last week.
In Stuttgart. I will say, obviously, guys, you probably did see that I was in Stuttgart earlier in the week. So I was only there for 3 days. So unfortunately, I didn't actually get to see... Well, to be fair, I did watch Paulini against Somnez, the Turkish girl.
Okay, yeah, Somnez, yes.
She lost that match. Mm-hmm. Paulini wasn't really at it.
We can talk more about that later.
Yeah, but just in terms of Stuttgart as an event, wow, Lucy. Like, obviously, you know, like I'm a big Porsche fan. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's Porsches everywhere. Like I felt like a kid in a toy shop. Like it was incredible. And it's such a well put together event. You can tell the players, you know why the players enjoy going there because it's obviously it's not a Grand Slam. It's a WTA 500, but it's like that kind of level in terms of the way the players are treated and like, they're just well catered to. And the venue as well, like it's not that big. So you do kind of, it feels very intimate. But at the same time, as a fan, like you kind of get your money's worth because you have access to the outside court, which is number one stadium court, I think is ticketed. Okay. But again, I don't think the prices are like too crazy. I don't know what they are, but
yeah,
it felt like a very well attended event the 3 days I was there. Definitely looking forward to going back next year, which we'll talk more about like in the future. But yeah, just in terms of Coco Gauff, she said some interesting things actually in her pre-match or pre-tournament press because she was asked about why she starts her clay court season in Stuttgart. Mm-hmm. Stuttgart being one of the few indoor clay court events because most of them are played outside.
Yeah.
And she said it's a deliberate kind of move on her part because it's the most difficult kind of surface out of all the clay court surfaces. Mm. And she said that basically starting in Stuttgart allows her to kind of ease her way in to the clay court season, which I thought was quite, well, obviously it's insightful, but it's also like, wow, like she really wants to like challenge herself because she could easily start in Charleston, which is like where most of the Americans start on the green clay there.
Yeah.
Or even somewhere in Europe. Mm-hmm. Other than Stuttgart, like an easier 250 maybe, like play her way in, but she wants to start literally at Stuttgart where it's like literally what I think 5 or 6 of the top 10 players always play like every year. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of speaks to like her competitive mentality. She's like we said, she reached the quarterfinals for the first time. She did lose to Karolina Muchova, her first defeat.
Yeah, this is the first time. Yeah. But it's funny because she's actually never made it past the quarterfinals at Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Which is why probably people are asking why you're still going. So, yeah, it makes sense.
And I mean, she wants to win the Porsche. Like, who doesn't want a Porsche? Well, I think she has one already, though, to be fair. But anyway.
But credit to Muchova and even Coco, to be fair, because honestly, I think the match did look like you'd think that she was going to lose in straight sets, but she really cleaned it up in that second set and she just continued to fight through. It's one of those matches, again, where when people talk about her as a competitor and saying that she easily gives up and whatnot, those are the moments, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but those are the moments where I'm like, I don't believe anything that you guys are saying. Mm. I'm not tiffing about it because, again, this has been a repetitive thing in Stuttgart. So to me, this doesn't determine how her clay season is going to be. I do feel like it is a tough one. She has a lot of points to defend. But in all honesty, I don't feel like it's only Coco. I generally feel like no one is defending their title this clay season, except for Pegula, who already did it.
I just see something on Twitter, like along those lines. I mean, yeah.
I don't really I feel
like
think
it's
so.
Also maybe a bit, is it not too early to say that though? Like in terms of it's only April.
Bro, Carlos Alcaraz literally even has a cast on his arm. He's done. Yeah. Sabalenka, maybe. Because Sabalenka, she made it clear that this season she was going to play a lot. And all of the tournaments that she's played, she's actually won them, except for Australian Open, which she ended up being a finalist anyways. So Sabalenka's the only one where I'm like, you know what? She likes Madrid, for instance. Obviously, Madrid is the next tournament. She has not played. She was supposed to play Stuttgart. She pulled out. And then Madrid Open, you know, she likes the surface there. I think she's made it to the final before. Obviously, she's a defending champion, but even before that, I believe she made it to the final.
She's got a good record in Madrid, yeah.
Exactly, she's got a good record in Madrid. But aside from that, no, I don't see Alcaraz winning Rome.
Interesting.
I certainly don't see Paolini winning Rome.
Not certainly, damn.
We'll talk more about her later. I don't see... what Madrid's the only one where I'm thinking. Madrid, rude. Nah.
He's got calf injury.
He always got something. Let's just stay there. He's always got some sort of injury. French Open. Again, Carlos Alcaraz. So yeah, he didn't defend his title. Monte Carlo, Cinna won that. So I honestly think like this clay season, we're going to have a new champion for each. I think this clay season is going to be... The players that you don't think are actually going to play well are actually the ones that are going to make some noise. That is my...
Okay, that's an interesting take, definitely.
So you think I'm stretching it?
Not at all. Like, but again, I've seen that kind of, I say argument, I've seen that debate kind of,
I think it was my tweet that you saw.
Really?
I tweeted it. I was like, I don't think anyone's defending the title.
Maybe,
But like I said, there's just a lot of points to defend. You know, Coco has a lot of points to defend. And I think she's still going to make second week to most of them. But we'll see. It's kind of hard to say right now.
Yeah.
I think she'll make second week, both of them. I don't think she will hit both of those finals. She might make semifinals. I'm not too sure. French Open, the only reason why I have a hard time seeing her defend that title is because in addition to what she's trying to fix, I think it's going to be in her head a lot. And I think that might play into it. But again, literally, we have like a month left still, so we'll see how that goes.
No, exactly. Should we get into Madrid then?
Yes, I do want to get into... Before we get into the actual draw... I do want to say there's actually quite a few players that pulled out of Madrid already.
Yeah, it's a bit.
So we have Carlos Alcaraz, who did not play last year. And what's even more sad is the fact that he hasn't played for his country at all. So he pulled out Barcelona because of this injury.
No, he played one match in Barcelona.
He played one match, sorry. Yeah, he played one match in Barcelona, then pulled out the rest. And Madrid, he's not playing, which he did not play last year as well. So
yeah, it's tough.
It sucks, but that means next year, I know they both of those tournaments are going to throw crazy money at him to be like,
don't.
You better pull up. But knowing Alcaraz, like I've said this before, obviously don't know him personally, but every time I've seen him on the ground, this man is the nicest guy ever. So I know he'll definitely find some way to like make it up for them. Jack Draper, who was last year's finalist, he pulled out.
That's tough. That is very tough.
Draper. Djokovic, I think he didn't play last year either. He pulled out. Emma Raducanu pulled out. And surprisingly, Frances Tiafoe. Do you have any...
No, there's no insight from me.
You don't have any insights?
No.
Okay. I'm asking Eugene because Eugene is like buddy's best.
I will definitely message him though.
I think you should. We need to get the scoop because what is going on?
I'll definitely message and check in. But it's quite... but we should also remember there's Rome still to come. So
I know, but still, it's for me. I feel like it's quite a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and it's big names.
Yeah, no,
it's
definitely.
Big names. You know, we're talking about two big championships. We're talking about champions. Sorry, we're talking about a finalist. Say what you want about Emma Raducanu. She makes the ticket sales. People are going to come pull up. And Frances Tiafoe, who normally doesn't pull out from tournaments like that. So, you know, so we'll see. But let's start with the men's, because Madrid love to only care about men. On the Madrid the Madrid Open website, they didn't even bother putting the seeded numbers for the women. Like, it's just looking like a mess compared to the men. Yeah, very lazy. But is it surprising?
No,
the tournament has not even started yet and Madrid has already showed that they are actually so sexist. Like, can you catch a break? I would love to enjoy this tournament where at least once, just once, you
who's the tournament director? Is it Feliciano Lopez?
That,
send him an email. Stop it.
I can't send him an email, because if I send him an email, Eugene will be banned from even Madrid. Not even Madrid.
Send Feli an email. I'm joking.
Please, whatever. But anyway, so let's start with the third seed. Sorry, Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Wow. Third seed, Felix. That's crazy.
I know.
Go on, Felix.
He does have a few good clay players on his draw, I'm not going to lie. So he has, he could potentially play against Baez or
Sebastian Baez, yeah.
Yeah, Dar Terry or Sorondolo as well, who he lost to the first round last year. But I feel like the main difference is he's a lot more on form this season, going into this season than.
Yeah, Felix is in a good place, definitely.
Yes. So not even, so like from the season to even clay, obviously he reached a quarterfinal in Monte Carlo and he lost to, you know, Yannick Sinner, the champion. So, I just wish he didn't have so many, like, you know, I feel like people really always underestimate these South Americans, these Spaniards during the clay season. Like, it's just different. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Felix is in a very good place. Like you said, Monte Carlo losing to the eventual champ. Mm. And just in terms of his season overall, as in 2026, it's been a good year for Felix. So, yeah. And again, he's had a good record. He's got a good record on clay. He reached the Madrid final a couple of years ago.
Lost to Rublev. We had a very potential good clay career here a couple of years ago, but Uncle Tony Nadal, who's still yapping, by the way. You guys need to stop asking this man opinions, please, for the love of God. But he kind of messed that up for us. But yes, it's true. We had something going on.
But yeah, no, I believe in Felix. Like, and I just love seeing him play to like his potential. And it's good to see him now kind of certified in that top five. Because that, again, that is where his ranking should be. Like, he is a top five player.
For sure.
So Novak, please, I'm joking. but yeah, no, I feel it's a tricky draw, like you said. There's a lot of like good clay court players in his section, but at the same time, Lucy, like I don't see why he shouldn't be beating these guys. Like, yeah. And I feel like this season he's in a good place to do that. So
yeah,
I'm optimistic about Felix. It's just obviously when it comes to. Obviously, there's no Carlos Alcaraz in the draw, thankfully. But yeah, Yannick Sinner does seem to be a tricky opponent for him, players, to be fair. So, yeah, but I'm going to say a deep run, quarterfinals, semis, yeah, for Felix.
Oh, wow.
Third seed, man. Like, to be fair, if he's third seed, he should be reaching the semifinals. So
true. Okay,
yeah,
well,
let's see.
Let's see how it goes. Fourth seed, Ben Shelton. His draw looks pretty good. He could potentially meet Arthur Fils in round of 16, which is pretty interesting. You
show
know,
me something.
Show us something. Humble and hungry, honey. I didn't realize this, but Shelton has never made it past the second round in Madrid.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't realize that. He never made it past the second round. But this time, listen, new title, it is happening.
He's got that, yeah, that new title bounce.
It's happening. Sheltered is happening. So, yeah, we'll see how he goes. Sorry, Arthur Fils, 24th seed. Again, a little bit like Shelton. He's never made it past the first round in Madrid, which is so interesting. It's definitely interesting. But it's funny because the obviously first round bye and stuff, but he could face Busse or Manarino first round. And Manarino is, he's an interesting player because he has his moments. He can play his best. He can play not play as great. He has beaten Fils before, but that was on grass at 3 years ago. So
different, yeah, and Fils is a completely different player.
Complete different player. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Fils this clay season, we're going to get a lot more, especially that already last year he was starting to get there. You know, he won past the first round for the first time in Roland Garros, which is why he didn't want to like pull out and stuff. So yeah, I feel like he's winning that title. You're looking at everything that you've been through. It's going to push him more. Like there's more motivation going to come from him. But I'm just saying, the reason why I'm saying all this is because I don't want people to just be like, oh, Manarino.
Not at all. Manarino is tricky. Lefty.
He can be like, tricky. Yeah. Like these older players, they can pull out some stuff sometime out of their bag. So yeah.
It's going to be interesting though. You could potentially play in the third round, Valentin Vacheron.
I saw that. Yes, exactly.
He's like, yeah, kind of living up to expectation. He's maintaining the level from last year. He kind of burst onto the scene. Is it Shanghai that he won out of nowhere? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that could be interesting in the third round for Fils.
For sure.
But yeah, no, I expect it to go deep in Madrid, definitely, just off the back of what he did in Barcelona.
Exactly. So, yeah. And his exciting last four tournaments in general anyway. Exactly. Gabriel Jallo, still dealing with some early exits, but honestly, guys, he's been having like the toughest like draws. So
for insane. Instance, how good is it though to see him be seeded? Like, go on, get
yeah, him. Yeah, true. I feel huge. Like despite all of that, the fact that he's still there is actually pretty good. So like, for example, even if he wins his first round, he could actually play Yannick Sinner.
Well, no, it's second round bye.
Second round, so sorry. Second round. But yeah,
third round, it'd get tricky.
Yeah, he's really had some stuff. Like his last tournament, he had to play against Zverev, and the tournament before that was Fonseca. So yeah, he's not been getting the thing, but you never know. It might be like a little Paolini thing where it's like, you know, you get tough draws, building character.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm not too tough. I'm not too worried. That's why all of you guys were like, who is this player that burst out of the scene and nowhere? Paolini was grinding. So I really hope that for Gabriel Jallo, it's going to be the same thing for him as well. But yeah, outside of the seeded players, we have Gael Monfils, who, again, could have some tough opponents. His first round is against Hugo Carabelli. And then he could face the Italian Coboli next.
Temp seed. That's a pretty tricky draw for.
It's a pretty tricky draw, but again, he's just playing to say goodbye. He's not playing to be doing whatever you guys think. Like he's doing, like he's here to just say bye, guys. I'm done. There's one player that I realized that wasn't on the draw, which is GMP.
Is he not there?
No, I don't think he's playing.
I know Kwame, he's in qualifying.
Oh, yes.
Qualifying is currently happening right now as we record.
Yeah.
Yeah, no GMP.
No GMP. Wow. Who had a very unfortunate
coach split. I'm excited, though, about the new setup. So he's now working with Greg Rozetsky, which is also quite exciting.
Mm-hmm.
See, Greg Rozetsky being a former British number one US Open finalist.
Yeah.
Big server.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Canadian is Greg, but represented Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing a lot of work for like tennis TV and just co-commentary work.
Mm-hmm.
Always spoke very highly of like Felix, obviously being Canadian. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see how this kind of plays out because I feel like there's a lot of potential with Giovanni in terms of his game. Obviously, we know he's got a massive serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe people have been a bit too harsh on him as well, just in terms of like his progression, because
yeah.
I think his peak was like 31, maybe 30. That's probably his career high. and like hasn't kind of reached those heights, like in terms of cracking that.
Yeah.
But again, he's still young. He's what, 22? Like he's not that much younger, like not much older than Arthur Thies. So again, there's a lot of potential there. And like, he's got a lot of time, I feel, to improve his game. And I feel like now having a proper coach, like in his corner. Not Francis Roig. I think we're in a good place. So I'm excited for Giovanni, and hopefully he can push on.
For sure. Hopefully we'll see him in Rome. Should we move on to the women's?
Let's go, yeah.
So obviously Coco Gauff, third seed, Madrid finalist. She does have a decent draw as well. I saw some people like freaking out. I personally think her draw is pretty decent. She could meet Mobocco in the quarterfinals. How do you...
Will that be the first time they played this year? Because I know obviously they played last year a couple of times.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
How do you feel about Coco going to the... I know we spoke just...
Yeah, no, yeah, I think she's in a good place, and I feel like
do you think that she's going to defend? Like, do you feel like she's going to make it to the
finals? As in the French Open?
No, Madrid.
Oh, as in defend her points?
Do you think Coco's going to defend her points in Madrid?
Because she was the final last year.
She was in the finals, yeah.
I honestly, yes, I can see her getting to the final. Yeah, I can.
Really?
I can, because I feel like Madrid has kind of set her up for the rest of the season, because she wasn't really expecting much in Miami in terms of like getting to the final, the first time doing that.
True.
And in the final, yes, she lost to Sabalenka, but it was scrap. And it was a scrap. It wasn't like a straight set speed down. Like, it was a three set match. So I feel like she's kind of played her way into form. Yes, she did lose in Stuttgart, like we spoke about in the quarters. But again, Karolina Muchova, like, that's not, like, she's not a scrub. And yes, Muchova did lose in the final to Babakina in Stuttgart. But again, I feel like with Coco, you just, and we've said it so many times, you can never count her out, because she doesn't know when she's beaten, literally. And like, she'll just literally play and play and play until the last ball. And like,
yeah.
It's like she'll always have the last laugh, because yeah, like, she's just an ultimate competitor.
Mm-hmm,
so I'm going to say, yeah, she's going to reach the final. I'm putting my putting money on it. I'm not a gambler, but I feel pretty confident. Definitely,
you
don't. I'm sensing.
I think she's going to make it to the second week. I don't think she's going to make it to the final, because in addition to everything that you said, I feel like the reason why Coco had such a great clay season last year is because she was like, she had like a different mindset, which she shared when she won French Open.
Mm-hmm.
So unless she comes in with that same energy, I don't think she will reach the final. But I think she would. I think she will make it second week. She's still great on clay, and she had a tougher draw last year compared to this year. So that's another reason why I feel like she should be able to make it. The issues that she had last season and this season are not that much of a difference. So again, another reason why that she should make it. She even has a newer coach because of this as well. So. Yeah, it's just the fact that, you know, she came to Clayton saying, I am going to win this French Open. Like, there was more of like a sentimental, personal...
it was like a proper goal, yeah.
Exactly. So because of that, that's the only reason why I'm like, this is going to be tougher, because I feel like she's going in into this... I feel like this season, we've been getting a Coco where... I'm not agreeing with the others where they're like trying to, you know, call her, you know, like she's not like... Like, she doesn't believe in herself or blah, blah, blah. I feel like she's, I don't know, I feel like she's going to like a different transition. And do you know when it really hit me? Maybe I'm reading too much into it, because I'm very, very observant. Like, and 9 out of 10, I'm right about stuff.
All right.
Just saying.
All right.
So that's why they're trying to silence me about the draw being rigged, guys.
Listen.
But it hit me when her mom posted the birthday message. I don't know if you saw it, but I don't know, the caption, obviously she's always posted Coco doing things, but this one was different.
Interesting.
It was different. It's like her mom was trying to tell her, like, yo, breathe, like, you're actually okay,
and you're
like,
good enough.
Stop thinking too much. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
There's also another one where I don't really want to touch on, but I have to it seemed like she may have broken up with her boyfriend as well. So that might have played into it as well. So I feel like she's made, you need to remember as well that these, we're talking about younger players who are growing up in front of us.
Exactly.
And Coco is someone that's had to, you know, mature very quickly. Not even just her. A lot of these tennis players, they have no choice. They have to mature so quickly. So, you know, you're becoming a woman. You're experiencing these new stuff, and you know, you're still dealing with tennis, and then you're still dealing with people chatting absolute nonsense on the internet, no matter what you do, including your damn hair. Do you get what I mean? So I don't know. I feel like I'm not saying she's like down inside. I think she's very happy. I think she's very proud of herself. But I feel like there's some things in her head that's making her think too much. And I think that sometimes affects her matches, and which is why she might be dealing with some of these errors, some of these issues. But that's the only reason why I don't think she's going to be fine. But I do think that she's going to have a great clay season. I think it's going to be tough to defend those points though.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
I might be talking absolute rubbish for all I know, but that's my
it's a view. It's an opinion.
It's an opinion. Exactly. Not a fact. Jasmine Paolini, 8th seed. She hasn't made it to the second week at this tournament before as well.
First time for everything.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, Eugene, we have to be honest now. She hasn't had the best start of the season. I was very, very, very surprised that she lost to Sonmez in straight sets. Sonmez did play good.
Very well, yeah.
She played really well. I've been watching her this season. I feel like that was her best match this season. But considering the other matches I've seen from her, I did not expect that.
No, I think Paolini's level wasn't like up to scratch as well. And that's not taking anything away from Sonmez. But yeah, I feel like Paolini didn't play well. And that also played into the fact that, yeah, it made Sonmez look better, I thought.
Yeah, but my point is that I kind of feel like we've been having a bit too much of those matches this season. At the beginning of the season, I know she was ill, but now it's like, okay, so what's
Do you know what I'm going to say? And like, again, yes, I'm going to put the spin on it, the positive black spin.
Okay.
But Lucy, where, look at her ranking. Like, where's her ranking? Do you understand? Yes. So if she was like way outside the top 20, like, bro, she's still inside the top 10. So let's just relax. Like, honestly, yes, she has points to defend. And like, again, we'll see if she does that. But as things stand, as we record today, what's today's date? The 20th of April.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine Paolini is still a top 10 player. Like, so let's all chill, guys, please.
Okay.
And I hope she listens to this as well. Like, Jasmine, relax. Like, you're in a good place.
Oh, God.
I might pitch this up and send it to her.
I mean, yeah. She did say that she deleted socials or Twitter or something. I don't know. Yeah. But that was like a couple of months ago, so I don't know if it's still the case. But yeah. But she could face Begu or Laura Sigmund in the first round. So yeah, we'll see how. I mean, her, obviously she got first round by, but yeah, we'll see.
And then who could she potentially face in the third? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Who?
Third round.
Igor. Sabalenka. Who could she face?
It's an all black affair.
Oh, Baptiste.
Or Venus.
Or Venus. How many times? How many times have to go through this? No, Eugene, you can't tell me they are plotting something.
Listen.
Against Baptiste. How many times has Baptiste had to face that?
Baptiste, she's flying as well, because she's fine.
But how many times? I know, but that's not my point. My point is focus, Eugene. Baptiste keeps on facing black players. This is a scheme that had set up.
That's my point. I'm sticking to it. Damn. No, listen, yeah. I was going to say something about Venus, but I don't feel like we're quite ready to have that conversation yet. But yeah.
What do you want to say?
No, we're not ready for that conversation.
No. Don't do that. We're not continuing this pod until you say what you want to say. Say it, bro.
Okay, so who does she play in the first round? Let me just, because I don't want to disrespect this woman.
Oh, gosh.
I want to pronounce her name correctly. That's why.
It's Caitlin Quevedo.
Quevedo, so Spaniard. Lucy, yes. I do, we do this pod, we've been doing this pod for what, 6 years now? I don't think I've ever heard of Caitlin Quevedo.
Well, from the look of it here quickly, it seems like she's only ever played, she plays mainly challengers.
So this is my point.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I hope Venus beats her. But if she doesn't, and Quevedo gets this win over Venus Williams, for me, this is like, it's I'm just going to say, it's tarnishing the legacy like of Venus Williams, because we're now at a point now where literally everybody and anybody is getting wins over her. And I feel like, I don't think that's right, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. And I'm saying this as a fan of Venus Williams, like, and I love the fact that she's still playing at what, 40, what is she, 45? Mm. How old is she?
44 or 45.
Well, yeah, so she's still playing, she's 45. Still playing like high level tennis. I don't like the fact that, yeah, literally everybody's just like basically getting wins over her. Like, it's just, it's not a good look. I'm sorry.
Do you know what?
It hurts to say.
I'm very surprised. Normally, I'm the one that be saying these type of stuff. I'm actually surprised that you're saying it. So
we're not ready for this conversation, but we're here. Okay.
Yeah, but I think for me, I think the reason why I don't have the same, a lot of people feel the same way that you feel. So many people do. I think the reason why it isn't for me is because I don't think about her winning or doing anything. I feel like she's generally just here and just doing what she likes, and that's it. And that's number one. But most importantly, Eugene, no matter how many times she loses or her record, you can't take away the shit that she's done.
Of course not. Of course.
So I feel like what she's accomplished is too big for her to ever be looked at like raw. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it sucks waking up every day and seeing that she lost and stuff. I put my hands up. I don't really bother watching her matches because I'm just like, one, I'm not getting the Venus of before. Obviously, sometimes exactly, it is nice because are seeing some stuff that you don't see these kids doing today. Do you get what I mean?
The match she played against Danielovic, Australian Open. That was a free set.
That was
a very, very good like high level. But
so that's what I'm saying.
Then, I've not seen that kind of level from Venus.
I think fans just need to be a bit more realistic as well. Like you said, the woman's 45 years old, bro. I honestly feel like Venus is mainly playing because she generally misses.
It's the love,
number one. And I think people also dismiss the fact that there's a large part of her professional career where she couldn't play because of illness. From the moment that this woman was emotional, slightly emotional about it at a press conference US Open last year, you know it means something to her.
That's a good point.
So I think like, I'm not saying what you're saying. You're totally right what you're saying. But I think for me personally, as like a proper Williams sisters fan, it doesn't hit me like that because I'm not watching it to expect her to win or anything. I know that this is just women are just trying to just, you know, enjoy life and do whatever. But most importantly, like I said before, there are so many things that Venus Williams has done that none of these girls can actually do. They have not done before. She is the mother of a lot of these players, men and women. Mm-hmm. So she can lose from today until 2038. Bro, she is Venus Williams. There's a reason why when she's on that court, it is packed and full. It is what it is. I feel like moving forward, I think fans just need to be a little bit more realistic. She's generally one of the few players that you can say she doesn't owe us nothing because she's done a lot. She's done too much. So
I shut my mouth about
Paolini. Nice.
it's a great point you make. I feel like
for peace of mind, just put that into your head. But yeah, what you're saying is right. It does suck, but for me, it's like she's the GOAT at the end of the day.
And like you said, the love, like she loves the game. Clearly, like
that's she why loves she's, it. And you. Yeah, exactly. So do whatever.
No, fair play.
We'll see. But so Victoria Mabuco, 10th seed, first clay match. But very much on form. You know, she was a finalist in Dubai. She made it to the second week to all of her other tournaments. She could face McNally or qualify the first round. And then a potential very interesting round of 16, which I think will be to me, is Pegula.
Interesting. Not Towson. I think Towson would be interested in, was that the third round possibly?
She beat her in Australian Open.
But it was a good match though. Very good match in Australia.
Yeah.
You probably don't rate Towson.
It's not that, that I don't rate her. It's not that I don't rate her. It's just that if I'm looking at the draw and I see Pegula round of 16 and Towson, I'm thinking of Pegula. Respectfully. Plus Pegula, like I said, she's won a title already this clay season. So yeah.
Can we just say on Mboko though quickly, like, where was she ranked this time? Well, not this time last year, but the start of last year.
Like 300 and something, like 400 something.
Yeah. She's 10 in the world. Like, what?
It's actually crazy. Like, and I think what I love the most is seeing how people talk about Mboko. Mm. Like, people already saying she's going to win a Grand Slam, sure. Soon.
She's number one. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, you guys are awake. So I love it. Like, the people love her. She's a great player. She's confident. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to her this clay season, especially in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting one, Naomi Osaka, her first clay match too, 14th seed. Last year, she did have an early exit against Badosa, which I thought she was going to win because Badosa wasn't that thing, but she ended up losing the first round. To me, I feel like she got a bit of a tough draw, a little bit like Monfils, where it's like you could face like a lot of, oh, Shelton, yeah, where you could face a lot of these, you know, Spaniards or clay players and whatnot. She could also face, if she goes past through those tough draws, she could face the defending champion round 16, Aryna Sabalenka. I'm interested to see how Osaka plays this clay season, because last clay season, you know, she was training hard with Patrick.
Went down she and won her challenger.
Won a challenger event in France. But she's not doing none of that this year. So how did she look in Miami? Do you remember? Did you watch her match?
She lost her first match. She got a second round bye. She got a bye to the second round. She lost to Gibson, the Australian, young Australian girl.
Okay.
But prior to that, Indian Wells. And just looking at her schedule in general, like, yeah, she's only played like the big events. So Australia, Indian Wells, Miami, and now Madrid. So she's not played any 500s or 250s. It's just been literally slams and then 1000s. So interesting scheduling.
Very interesting.
And she arrived in Madrid quite early.
Yeah. She's been training. She's been training on clay and stuff. So yeah, but I don't know. Let's see. Let's see how she plays. She plays.
It's tough to kind of give like a prediction, because there just hasn't been that many matches to go by, basically.
Exactly. So, yeah. Especially that, also because of the fact that her schedule this season is different from last season as well. So that doesn't really make it as easy. But yeah, I mean, I would love for Osaka to play more matches in general. I've always said that. I feel like it will help her a lot. And I think, yeah, but again, she's a mom. She's been very vocal about not wanting to be away from a kid for too long. But she's also been very vocal saying that, listen, if I don't get a result that I want, I'm going to stop this.
Yeah.
And I think I'm scared of that, basically. So
I know, definitely.
So, yeah. We've got Keys as well, 16th seed. Keys can be a good player on clay. Obviously, first round bye, she could face Zhang or Lise in the second round. Third round, she could have Ostapenko, which is very interesting. And then
another good clay court.
So her draw is a little bit thin. She's on Rybakina's court as well, so it could be a little bit more tough as well. But yeah, I mean, Keys can be a little surprising, but she's coming in on form anyway. She did reach the semis in Charleston, but obviously those are different like clay thing. But yeah, I've always said Keys is she's great on clay, so yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think next we have Baptiste.
Yes,
who's honestly, Eugene, this season has been looking really great for Baptiste so far. I feel like
first round by as well, because she's seeded.
Yes,
seed.
Yeah,
which is first very round. Good.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with some of the, like, she's really out here tussling, fighting. I don't think she's confirmed on her coach yet, but am I allowed to say this? I can't remember if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I think she might introduce her coach, her new coach, during the clay season, if she goes with that coach, from what I've been...
Your insider knowledge, okay.
Yeah, not directly from her, by the way, guys, or thing, but someone from someone for someone for someone. So I don't think my source. Right. I just couldn't really remember. But yeah, obviously, as we said earlier, she could potentially face Venus Williams the second round, and then she could potentially face Jasmine Paolini in the third round, and in round of 16, I think she's in the Sabalenka's quarters. I can't remember, but yeah. But either way, I'm really looking forward to Baptiste. She played really well the clay season last year as well. So yeah, I'll be interested to see.
How she can definitely hold her own on clay.
She really can, especially that, you know, she's moving even. I feel like each season Baptiste just moves better. Mm. And I've actually got a very fun announcement. Guess who's back, Eugene? Robin Montgomery.
Hey, you know, to be fair, we did see her, but she played a 250 in, I think,
she's South been playing America. Yeah, so obviously because the app that I use, like, I just get notifications, but she's been playing mad challenges. Obviously, we can't watch the matches, so I just stick to that. But she's been playing quite a few. I think the last one that she played, she reached the semi-finals, I believe, or quarterfinals, something like that. But yeah, I know when she was out last year, everyone was like asking, where is Robin Montgomery? Like, people were even messaging me. I was like, she and my friend, I don't know. But to a point where I actually ended up going to someone. I was like, okay, where actually is Robin? Is she injured? And then, yeah, she was like, she had surgery and everything and on her leg, I believe.
Yeah, so she returned to action in Bogota, Colombia. And that was back in end of March.
Yes.
She lost to Blinkova in straight sets. But then exactly like you said, since then she's been playing a lot of like 125s.
Exactly.
And yeah, reached the semi-finals in
Aureus.
Don't actually know where that is. Is that Mexico?
We don't know.
But, Portugal, my bad.
Portugal. Okay. Yeah. Yes, so, Portugal. Yes. Playing. So yeah.
So she's in good form.
She's in good form. She does have interesting things. So she is facing Magdalena first round, and Lynette's a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's tricky, but that is winnable, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, she's played before Madrid, so she's familiar with how it is. If she does win that match, it will be a very interesting second round against Iva Jovic, the other American player as well. Nice. But I feel like win or lose, it would still be nice seeing them together. Definitely. So yeah. Either way, I'm just really, really, really happy that I'm seeing Montgomery on the draw. We missed you. You're a real one. Next we have Taylor Townsend. Who just turned 30. Happy birthday. And bought her a nice little home with, well, I'm saying little, but a nice home with her, for her and her son. So congratulations on that, you know. Mm-hmm. Buying a home is very important. And the fact that you can do that in this economy is amazing too. So yeah, shout out to Townsend. Also, I do want to say it's interesting because she's been very open about not getting any deals and stuff. And now you're seeing a little bit more deals, you know. She had like an ad. She posted an ad recently with Cadillac, which is the car.
Oh, Cadillac. Yeah, yeah.
Cadillac. Is it Cadillac? Yeah. Cadillac. Yeah. Which I think Frances works with them.
Yes, exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's nice. It's nice seeing the things that she's spoken about coming to, you know, real life and stuff. So yeah. Interesting first round against KE Bolter.
The Brit.
There's actually a lot of Brits that pulled out in, I'm not gonna name all of them, but quite a few Brits that pulled out this Madrid as well. But she's here. And then if Taylor wins that, she does face Pegula second round.
Interesting.
So yeah, she does have a little bit of a tougher draw, but hey, you know. It is what it is. We're going to get the job done regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it for...
There might be a player in qualifying that we need to talk about. But then, like I said, they're still playing.
They're still playing, yeah. It's still on, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we'll see. Eugene, predictions. Who do you think is going to win the Madrid Open? Let's go. Starting with men.
Men. Hmm. So there's no Alcaraz.
There's no Alcaraz. Sinner is very much still here. He won Monte Carlo.
Rude is not going to defend. No. Draper's also, he's not even out. Playing, is he?
No, he's out.
Ooh. Is it going to be Sinner? No, it's not going to be Sinner, you know.
You don't think it's going to be Sinner? I feel like we might say the same person.
I don't think you're going to say who I'm going to say.
Okay, wait. Do you know? Okay, let's well, I'm going to count down and then we're going to say the name together at the same time. Yeah? All right. So, Madrid Open men's champion will be 3-2-1.
Artifis.
Let's go. We're doing this.
We're doing this.
I can't believe this.
Yeah. No, you listen, why not?
Why not? Mm. He's on form.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been great on clay. That's nothing new.
This is the thing.
He's locked in.
Goran's in the camp. Wow, we both said out of feast. That's hard. Okay.
We both believe in him.
Women? Coco's getting to the final. I'm going to say Coco Gauff. She's going to win it.
You're saying Coco's going to win Madrid?
I'm saying Coco Gauff's going to win Madrid.
I think...
World number three. The youngest player in the top five. Wow. Don't forget that. People sleep on that fact, you know.
True.
People sleep on the fact that Coco Gauff, 22-year-old Coco Gauff, is the youngest player in the top five. Don't sleep on that. Anyway.
I have Rebecca now.
Yeah, no, that's a shout. So we're going literally back to back champions. So back to back in Stuttgart, Fisu won in.
Oh yeah, true.
That's very good logic. I like it.
I have Rebecca now. I feel like we might get a Sabalenka Rebecca in our final.
Yeah, because that's one and two seeds, isn't it? So yeah.
I feel like that's a good shout. So yeah, so we'll see.
I feel like Sabalenka's going to come in cold though, because she's not played. Like,
bro, we've been saying that.
Number one. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Like, she's won that sunshine double like it was nothing. But then again, like you said, this is a different surface. I think this year both of those surfaces, clay and grass, she would do well on.
She's winning Wimbledon. We're not even there yet. Sabalenka.
I didn't say she was going to win Wimbledon.
Okay.
But now you put the idea to my head, I'm like, maybe, but who's saying that? I'm just saying she's going to do really well on both of those surfaces. That's all I said.
Fair. But, no, okay. Yeah. That's calm.
Well, but either way, we'll see. And we will chat about it when we come back. So yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in. Apologies again about being MIA for so long, but I'm going to be so honest with you guys. A side of me don't really regret it. I had a time.
Listen, okay. Man, you got to live your life, Lucy. Live your life.
A time was indeed had. So, yeah. Important. We will be on socials and we'll be back after the Madrid Open. Let us know what you think. Please don't forget to like, share, subscribe and do all the stuff. I feel like I need to do this at the beginning of the pod, not at the end of the pod. But it is what it is.
Yeah, to be fair, I need to do it full stop. But yeah, no, fair play.
But, thank you guys for listening. We shall be back after the Madrid Open and then will we... talk about Rome, which will be the next thing. Oh, Eugene, have you saw that they're going to start a new grass tournament in Italy?
In Italy, yes. Exciting.
Sinner wins.
We don't know what level yet, though, do we?
We don't know the level yet. We do know that they bought a 250 level tournament in Belgium, I think.
Okay.
I think the one in Belgium. Huh?
Grass court event.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's a grass event. I think it's an indoor. I think it's a hard court event.
Oh, as in the Italian Federation.
Yeah, sorry, the Italian Federation bought it at 250. Okay. So I don't know if it's going to be still at 250 or it's going to be...
Most likely,
yeah.
I'm thinking
yeah.
Queens is obviously the main one, isn't it, before...
Exactly. So, but it's just interesting. Like, they are really trying to bring all tennis in Italy and it's like, is enough.
You have enough, like, you've got the world number one.
You've
got Jasmine Paolini.
You got the ATP finals, you got everything, like, which they extended as well, like, to stay in Italy, like, is enough.
Oh, my God.
But we'll see. There is, that's not going to come until, like, I think they said 2 more years. So yeah, we'll get more information, but all we know is that it's coming. We don't know the dates, we don't know the level yet, but just interesting. We shall catch you guys later, guys. Enjoy the Madrid Open, and peace
until next time. Take care, guys. Thanks for tapping in.